Welcome back to Lay of the Land. Tonight the focus is on some political aspects of the lay of the land. And farmers, when they knew that there was a big event coming that they had to prepare for, it might be getting ready for harvest, or it might be selling some cattle, they would prepare. They'd get ready for that event. Well, we've got a big event going on now, and that's to prepare to protect our democracy. And so we ought to be alert and ready to deal with the challenge and threat that poses to us. So I want to call to your attention that Matt has got a new book that's coming out shortly this fall. It's called 12 Ways to Save Our Democracy. And Matt, if you'd like to kind of highlight a little of what that book is about, that would be great.
Well, thanks, Nate. It's focused on Wisconsin, so I don't deal with this crucial issue that we're facing right now with the risk to our democracy itself nationwide and the threat from fascists and white nationalists. I wave at it at the introduction, but I stopped writing in February, and I was focusing only on Wisconsin. But I'm talking about banning gerrymandering. I'm talking about solving the problem of money and politics, and finally overturning that Citizens United decision and declaring once and for all that, you know what, corporations actually aren't persons, and you know what, money actually isn't speech. So those are some of the things. And then I also talk about moving toward economic equality. That's a crucial thing nationwide. It's a crucial thing here in Wisconsin. I also talk about uprooting racism. I talk about the media. We need to reform our media. I mean, Crudy and Dom talk all the time about, you know, 95% of talk radio in Wisconsin is right-wing talk radio. And our newspapers are dwindling all across the state. The Capitol press room is dwindling, and we aren't getting the coverage we want. You know who that helps? That helps the people who are doing special deals behind our backs. So there's a lot of stuff we need to do. But I want to give a shout out to another book, which is called How Democracies Die. This is a book by two Harvard professors that came out right after Trump got elected. And I think listeners should buy that book and read it. And, you know, it's going to disturb your sleep at night, because they show how fragile democracies can be and how they can collapse. You know, Chile had a democracy for 100 years and it died in a night. So we can't rest on our 200 and some glory years here as a democracy, especially after what we witnessed on January 6th. And what I want Congress to do is not only investigate what happened on January 6th, Nate, but actually pass some laws that would take some of the power away from the president to declare martial law. Let's remember, the pillow guy, Mike Lindell, was going into the Oval Office with a document that said martial law on it. And General Flynn, who Trump had pardoned, was talking about martial law, still is talking about martial law. That's crazy. And the president has the power to basically suspend the Constitution under the National Emergencies Act. The president has the power to put U.S. troops in our streets under the Insurrection Act. The president has the sole authority to declare a catastrophic emergency under National Security Directive 51. And so, you know, the next megalomaniac and clinical narcissist who occupies the Oval Office, all that person has to do is bring those suckers off the shelf, dust them off, and announce, you know, guess what? The next election's canceled. I'm declaring martial law. There's too much civil strife. So under the Insurrection Act, I'm telling the 82nd Airborne and the Marines to get out in the streets. And you know, Trump already was saying he wanted to shoot people who were members of Black Lives Matter. I mean, what would have happened if Trump won that election? Or what would have happened if Trump didn't leave the Oval Office and just said, you know, after January 6th, you know, there's too much civil strife? Or if there were, you know, protesters on the left-wing side who tried to confront the protesters who were storming the Capitol, he could have said, there's too much chaos here. I'm just going to invoke the Insurrection Act now. And guess what? There's going to be no swearing in of Joe Biden on January 20th. I mean, we came that close to losing the whole ballgame right there and then.
Yeah, and if the insurrectionists would have grabbed the box of all of the votes and ran off with that, there would have been no record of how the various votes were cast by the states. It would have been a complete chaos that would have followed the insurrection. So here's another example of how it was hair's breadth from a complete collapse of our democracy. And we always have to remember in historic record that Hitler came to power through a democratic process, but then never left. He subverted a democratic process. So there is precedent for that having happened in world history, and I never thought that that kind of thing could happen here, but it's quite clear now it can.
Yeah, it sure can. So we need to remain vigilant. I mean, I fault some of the mainstream media stations for not warning us more after November 3rd or after the media declared that Biden was the winner, because it was clear that he was a winner. But then they just kind of fell asleep from like November 6th to January 6th. I mean, I remember a speech that Trump gave in early December. The first line of that speech was, "This is the most important speech I've ever given." And you know what the next few lines were? "I'm not going to respect the results of the election. I'm going to do whatever I can to overturn the results of the election." And they didn't cover it. They barely covered that speech. I had to go to whitehouse.gov to read the whole thing and see the gory details in there. But I remember watching CNN that night where they said, "Well, we're not going to play Trump's speech because, you know, the old guy's going to be out of here anyway, and we're basically sick of his act." Well, you know, you might have been sick of his act, but the act was still going on.
And that really highlights, of course, the importance of vetting candidates for office, because Donald had absolutely no experience as a elected official. He'd never run for any elected office prior to his running for the presidency. So he had no respect for any of the mores or traditions or anything that was part of our democratic history, and had really been in charge of a mom-and-pop development company, and that didn't actually function all that well. So if we don't vet our candidates from the start, we make ourselves vulnerable to this kind of a very threatening, incompetent demagogue to be able to take over.
And it's the media's job to vet it. But the head of CBS News was saying, you know, when Trump ran the first time, this may be bad for our democracy, but guess what? It's great for our investors, giving Trump all that free airtime. The guy got more than $1 billion of free airtime because every time he was on, they got eyeballs and were able to charge more for advertising. That's the ugly nexus between, you know, Donald Trump getting elected and the corporate media. I mean, they were loving Trump because he was making them rich.
And we have now demonstrated twice that media personalities can form the basis of elected office. Ronald Reagan, with his career in TV and movie career, and now with Donald Trump with The Apprentice. So once a person can get a media audience, they are a potential authoritarian figure. So you need to be vigilant. Well, we're going to go away for a few minutes. We'll be back with Nate Timm's Lay of the Land. Thank you for tuning in.